Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in Lineup Logic, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate, upcoming FanDuel DraftKings MLB DFS for Tuesday, May 22nd. A very, very full main slate. Should be a good one. Should be a lot of fun. You know, the great part about this is you stay up, watch your scores, watch playoff basketball, dip into a little bit of MLB DFS, stay up way too late. For those of us on the East Coast who are now sleep deprived because we're watching basketball, you know, Western Conference Finals till midnight, you know, every single night. It's craziness. I honestly love the playoffs, but like they kind of need to end so that we can get back to like going to bed like a normal adult. Hey, I want to say thank you. Everybody reached out yesterday. You may or may not have heard the news about me moving on from the pod at the end of the week. A lot of really, really heartfelt thanks. And, you know, this makes it a good moment to say a special thank you to all those guys who've been with us from the start. And, you know who you are. And it just, it wouldn't be worth doing if it wasn't for the community. And honestly, the community is the best part. And that was always what we said. You know, the key word is not that we're analysts, not that we're sharps. It's not that we're, you know, providers. It's that we're a community. And that was always the thought is that we help each other. We teach guys how to have fun and play MLB DFS, how to win, or excuse me, DFS in general, how to win, be competitive, and enjoy the game because, you know, part of the fun is winning and being competitive and enjoying that recreational style. And that community has always stood up strong, and I'm very proud of that. And no better moment than yesterday seeing all those thoughtful words and notes come in from guys who that's just a testament to you guys. I appreciate you. I really do. It means a lot. You know, my wife even was like, oh my gosh, people are so nice, babe. I'm like, hun, I mean, yeah, yes, these guys are great, obviously. You know, so if you get the heartfelt good feels from the wife, then that's a good sign and we're doing things right. Right. Especially when it's about DFS, which like, I'm sure I'm not the only one, could be like the bane of her existence. Like she would be totally fine if the Supreme Court ruled that like DFS had to go away. She'd be like, oh, too bad. Sorry. but what are you doing? Someone got scratched. There's literally hot food on the stove in front of you. What are you, babe? He got scratched. I have to fix. You didn't even finish that sentence, Sean. Get out of the way. That's just life. You know, glued to your phone at 6:30 in the evening. Let's go ahead and let's talk about this slate though. Go ahead and jump in to tonight. I'll take a look at Vegas. So take a look at the weather. There is some weather to be worried about. 15 games, man. We got a lot to talk about. Some really nice stud options. As far as pitchers, that should be an easy one. No Masahiro Tanaka. What the God. Berrios got it done. It was good to see him cooking again and using that breaking stuff. That was nice. I really like that. Walker Buehler continues to be a stud. But what the fuck, Tanaka? God damn it. Anyway, let's go ahead and let's take a look at tonight. We'll see what's going on. Okay. So, all starts in Washington. Obviously, they put up a big number last night, 10 runs. It was interesting to see. They just started to light up the pitcher. And that Soto kid, like, what? Craziness. That was impressive. It's a great debut. Hard to follow up. Who knows? But I'm sure we'll all chase this rookie right down the street. Padres will continue their series in Washington. 8-run total here. A little bit of rain early, but it looks like it should taper off. So you may see a delayed start, but it looks like this game will go. Lauer versus Helixson. It's a big deal when Jeremy Helixson is almost a run and a half home favorite because he's not been good. Numbers are not good for Helixson right now. But, hey, it's the Padres and whatever. there are enough lefties on the Padres that I could see some interest, but it's not necessarily something that I'm going to target and talk about. There's a ton of options on this slate. Want to be contrarian? Sure. The top of the order, those lefties, Jankowski, Hosmer, Franchi, always interesting. I don't mind it. Not my favorite in the world, but I don't mind it. As far as the Nats are concerned, you can go to the righties. Yeah, I mean, Rendon, Reynolds, you know, those guys, sure. You know, Turner, that's an easy stack here against Lauer, who, you know, numbers are mixed for Lauer. He's whatever. He is what he is. But not a huge number, 8 runs, a little bit of a postponed delay, you know, a delayed start. Not my favorite game on the slate. Braves, Phillies, 8.5 runs here. This was a pitcher's duel, and Pivetta looked pretty good. Really did. I mean, that was pretty impressive to do that against the Braves. This one has a little bit more of a rain issue. It's going to be sustained at about a 50% chance of rain from about 5 p.m. up until 8. It looks like you'll get a break around 9, and hopefully this one will push all the way through. 8.5 run total. Brandon McCarthy pitching for the Braves. Vinny Velasquez for the Phils. He is a slight home favorite in this one. Velasquez has been pretty good. I mean, he's generating whiffs. I don't necessarily love him against this Braves team, just because the Braves, the plate discipline combined with their ability to actually get it going every once in a while, I don't think that there's a ton to love there. McCarthy would be interesting, or excuse me, you know, McCarthy's interesting only because Philly swings so much, and he had a nice game out last time against them. He's had 2 nice outings here, 37 fantasy points against them twice. He just, you know, how deep is he going to go in this one? Both of those outings were only 5 innings. He just generated about 6 whiffs and didn't really give up any runs. So a little bit of a risk, but the price is nice at 6.3. He's a little bit of a risk for me, though. Cleveland, Chicago, no total just yet in this one from what I can tell. Double checking. Yes, no total just yet. Bauer versus Chatwood. This one is in Wrigley. A very nice evening there. A little bit chilly, 55 degrees. So, you know, I don't think we're going to see a massive total here. Chatwood's been getting a ton of ground balls. Bauer's been pitching well. I think this game is, you know, more of a watch than a play, right? This is not a fantasy-friendly matchup. This is more of a interesting baseball watch. Angels, Blue Jays, 8.5 run total in Toronto. Garrett Richards, J.A. Happ. J.A. Happ, the slight home favorite. Blue Jays implied for 4-3. Angels for 4-1. I like the Angels side of this. I think J.A. Happ, the numbers are good, but it's very infrequent that you get an Angels lineup to face this, face a lefty. I think it's an interesting spot to get aggressive with the righty stack here. And, you know, Cozart, and Mike Trout below 5K is interesting, right? But you get a cheap Cozart, you get a cheap Pujols, a cheap Kinsler. There's just so many righties, and obviously the Justin Upton, you know, injury. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but he's not in the top of that lineup. So you're going to get Andrelton Simmons up there too. So could be an interesting spot. J.A. Happ every once in a while has blow up. So we'll talk about that as an interesting pivot. Garrett Richards' numbers look really good. So I'm going to talk a little bit about him at 8.5. He's an interesting play that might get overlooked. Miami versus the Mets. Well, this game was a little bit of a dud last night. 7.5 runs here. Caleb Smith, Zach Wheeler, one of the lower totals on the slate. Not the lowest, but one of the lower totals. I'm not that interested in bats here, but Caleb Smith is popping a little bit for me, mostly because the Mets are so bad against lefties right now. So that is an interesting spot in my mind. However, Wheeler is the home favorite. Rain in the forecast, but similar to what is happening in the D.C. area, it's going to taper off at about 8 o'clock. So you may see a slow start to this one, but should be fine after that. Boston at Tampa, 7 runs here. Chris Sale, Jake Faria, Red Sox, 2 run favorites on the road. Sale, obviously the massive road favorite here, -222 favorite. 4.2 runs implied for the Sox. Feels like a hot spot to get after Faria. There's some numbers here that I like about the Boston Red Sox. I think they go overlooked at 4.2 runs. They're not going to, like some of these other teams that are, you know, implied for 5 runs on the slate. And I just think that that's an interesting way to get different as far as spending up. Like the Yankees are very obvious. They're implied for over five runs. They raked last night. I think it's an interesting spot to get after the Red Sox here. Pirates, Reds, rain in the forecast in Cincinnati, about a 40% chance throughout. We'll see if it gets worse. That's not a huge number. That's not a, you know, a major concern. 9.5 run total. Jameson Taillon, Matt Harvey. This is the patchy pitching matchup that people really pay to see, right? Jameson Taillon, the road favorite here. Pirates implied for five runs against Harvey. The Reds are doing with Harvey in the last two is really interesting. They say give us four innings. Serviceable start. You know, he's kind of like an opener, you know, a long man kind of thing. Seems to be fine. You know, maybe a fresh start, a boring environment like Cincinnati where Harvey is just asked to do less and less, fewer expectations, no media attention. Not bad. I mean, that's not a terrible idea that Cincinnati had here. And they also, you know, what do? They get a starter basically in their rotation for free. I mean, they have Barnhart and Mesoraco. They didn't need Mesoraco necessarily. Barnhart's the guy that they want, I think, in there a little bit more often. So, smart move by Cincinnati, I think, especially if they can keep Matt Harvey going in this 4 or 5 inning stint type thing. And then they build it from there. This one is nice. I like this game. You know, I always like games in Cincinnati. It's just so easy for balls to leave. And the Pirates specifically hitting righties very well. So we'll talk a little bit about them in this spot. They get a nice park upgrade for sure. Arizona, Milwaukee, 9 runs here. Matt Koch versus Julius Chacin. Brewers home favorites here against Koch. Brew crew. No problem with them. Saw a very interesting article this morning on FanGraphs. When should the Diamondbacks worry about Paul Goldschmidt? And the answer is they already are. He just isn't hitting. It's really weird. I don't know what it is, but I mean, to have a year where, from a fantasy perspective, Paul Goldschmidt is not doing anything is really weird. Jake Lamb hit his first home run, though. Good for him. Chacin is interesting. Interesting target, excuse me, mostly because I think the Diamondbacks have a decent sample size against him. Remember, he was in the Padres last year, saw him more often than they probably seen some other pitchers. So I don't like the Diamondbacks here. They have kind of been slumping. They're swinging way too much. They're striking out a lot. I prefer the Brewers for sure. Their profile versus Koch, very interesting to me. I'm going to stick to that. Yankees, Rangers, 9.5 runs. This one was a real offensive display last night. Domingo Germán versus Cole Hamels, and Germán is the road favorite. Yanks implied for 5.3 runs, highest total on the slate. I believe it's the highest. Yes, it is. Rangers implied for over 4 against Germán. Germán, he's been interesting. There's a lot here. Now, of course, Rangers against a righty, they have the lefties to do the damage. Obviously, we saw Joey Gallo continue to be Joey Gallo, do thing Joey Gallo things, which means hit the ball out of the ballpark, which is an automatic point for a baseball team. Tigers, Twins, 9 runs in Minnesota. Nice evening there. It'll be 75 degrees. No rain in the forecast at the Target Center. Four runs for the Tigers. Nearly 5 for the Twins. Matt Boyd, Lance Lynn. Neither of these pitchers really profile very well. That's just a fact. None of them. Matt Boyd has this fly ball issue, but he's been able to survive it. So Twins not really doing a whole lot. In fact, their strikeout rate way, way up right now. It doesn't really intrigue me offensively. I was interested in them last night. I thought maybe, you know, being at home, they'd be able to string together some runs. They're just not doing it. They're striking out way too much. That's the Logan Morrison effect in my mind. Baltimore, Chicago. This series continues. This, man, every time I was looking at this game, there were runners on. Nobody could really get anything to close. And tonight you've got an 8.5 run game, Kevin Gausman and James Shields, and your radar should go, whoa, yes, Gausman and Shields, these guys are terrible. Well, how good are these offenses? If last night was like a 5-run game with those two pitchers that we saw, it just, that's what I worry about with this team, these teams, is are they going to be able to string together runs? It feels like a nice spot, but I don't know that it is a nice spot. And Shields, I don't know. James Shields is just doing stuff right now, which is just weird. Giants-Astros, 7.5 in Minute Maid. Garrett Cole, Andrew Suarez. Garrett Cole, massive home favorite here. Heaviest favorite on the slate, -267. Obviously, you strike out nearly 50% of the batters that you face. Garrett Cole is probably your best option on this slate, hands down. It's hard to say with Chris Sale that he's, you know, going to guarantee outscore him, but good gracious, the matchup, everything, such a good situation for Cole. So definitely we'll be talking about him. Kansas City, St. Louis. St. Louis seems to get a little bit going yesterday. Marcelo Ozuna was on base quite a bit. That was good to see. I like that. I think that you can go back. Matt Carpenter got one out. So we're going right back to St. Louis. They seem to feel comfortable at home. They're implied for 5 runs here. It's a good number. It's a nice night in St. Louis, 80 degrees. Jason Hamill, Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver, the home favorite here against the Royals. You know, Weaver's numbers are not that great. I'm not going to necessarily go to him, but I do like the offense here for St. Louis for sure. St. Louis, Oakland, 8. St. Louis, Oakland. St. Louis will be playing in 2 spaces. Seattle versus Oakland. In Oakland, 8.5 runs here. Mike Leake, Trevor Cahill. Trevor Cahill, the home favorite. He's been good. Hard contact there, but, you know, when it's all ground balls, it doesn't really matter. So Cahill is doing good work. I'll let you guess. Sean, do you like Oakland? Of course I like Oakland. I always like Oakland. They're cheap. They rarely get rostered above 10% by 10% of the field. Sometimes they're a letdown, but sometimes they can score 12 runs. So there's a lot to like there. I don't know if they'll be a core piece for me, but I'm interested, obviously. They're at home here. They had a day off yesterday. Wind is blowing out, but it's always kind of blowing out in Oakland, so don't get too duped by that. It's always moving and swirling around there. Colorado in L.A., this one was pretty low scoring last night. It was an interesting spot to get to Buehler. I mean, he was just phenomenal. 7 innings, going strong, looking really, really good for these guys. Chad Bettis, Brock Stewart. I don't see a total in this one just yet. My guess is it will be a little bit higher scoring than last night, but neither of these offenses clicking on all cylinders. So maybe an 8-runner. Maybe an 8-run total here, pretty even, even numbers. We'll see. It's not my favorite game. Don't have a ton of interest in it anyhow. All right, plenty to talk about in our player breakdown, so let's go ahead and let's take a look at who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so starting at the top of the slate with our arms here, obviously Garrett Cole, Chris Sale. It's not hard to understand exactly who you want to target in your cash game pitching profile, and I do think it makes sense to try to get one or both of these guys in your lineup on DK. They both just have a ridiculous ceiling right now and solid matchups, very solid matchups. Let's start with Cole, 40% K rate, 16% swinging strike rates here at 2.0. This is basically, it's the same as Scherzer. It's the same profile. There are only so many guys right now in this league who can generate 15 strikeouts. Cole, Scherzer, Chris Sale is one of them. Obviously we just saw it. He's looked phenomenal, and you know, his most recent outing against LA was a little bit of a letdown. He gave up 3 earned runs, 7 Ks across 5 innings pitched, but that's a pretty disciplined offense, high quality hitters from top to bottom, so you don't necessarily look at that one, you know, with too much of an issue. He gave up 2 dingers in there, and that's always been the problem. That's not always been the problem, but that is the issue. It's the fly balls, and the ball will sail on him every once in a while, but now he is back at home, facing a Giants team. Thank you. Facing a Giants team who versus right-handers right now is really not doing anything of significant interest, especially considering the 25% strikeout rate. Now, they are an above average in WRC plus at 104, but I don't necessarily see them as a threat, and I don't think Vegas sees them as a threat either. You know, you get McCutchen back on the lineup here, okay, sure. But the lefties that he's going to have to face are not necessarily a massive threat. Brandon Belt has been very good this month. But Gregor Blanco, outside of Belt, you get around Belt, that's pretty much it, right? I don't necessarily see Kutch or Longo as a huge threat, even Posey as a huge threat, considering that they're guys who are much more comfortable facing lefties. So I like Cole. I think that there's no reason to, you know, to feel uncomfortable with him here. Fired up. No problem whatsoever. I think you have a very solid quality start and nearly 10 strikeouts. You know, not necessarily 10, but I'm not concerned. Chris Sale, I'm not concerned about either. I mean, 34% strikeout rate, the same swinging strike rate as Cole, 16% swinging strike rate, similar walk rate, similar fly ball rate. We know that. Sierra, 2.5. Everything looks excellent for him. I think the one advantage that you have for Cole here potentially is that he's facing a team that he's already, you know, dusted. I mean, he went out earlier this year and did a quality start against them, 6 innings and 9 Ks, and that was early in the season. That was all the way back in March. This is a team that struggles with him. Now, are there guys who can hit Chris Sale on this team? Yes, Wilson Ramos has a record of every once in a while turning one on Chris Sale, but the Rays versus left-handers, not necessarily a massive threat, not a team that I'm particularly scared of. 24% strikeout, yes, an above average WRC plus, yes, they look solid, but in the last, but in the last 30 days, let's get that split here. For the last 30 days, they're actually looking even better. You can't worry about that team. You can't worry about the Tampa Bay Rays, especially against Chris Sale. It just doesn't concern me. So Cole, Sale, take your pick. If you had to pick one for me, Cole at home, you know, as a tiebreaker, San Francisco striking out a little bit more. That's it. You know, maybe that's your tiebreaker. But I think if you want to get interesting, you want to be different in tournaments, it's pretty easy to go down to a second tier here and figure out that, a guy that for whatever reason is popping to me is Garrett Richards. And he's very inconsistent. Well, let's be very clear about this. He's very inconsistent, but he kind of fits this profile for me of like inconsistent enough that people are going to get away from him, but got stuff enough that this might work out. 27% strikeout rate. Now, 10% swinging strike rate is paired with a 10% walk rate. Don't like that. But he's keeping the fly balls down. He's generating a 55% ground ball rate, okay? 33% hard contacts here at 3.7. He's going up against a Toronto team that, you know, mediocre at best, 24% strikeout rate, 18th in WRC+. Just feels like Richards has the ability to do damage here at a pretty low ownership. And I think I could be overstating it, but I mean, we've seen this guy get into games and, you know, I mean, he's only given up, he's not giving up a ton of runs. He's had a couple games where he's given up, you know, some more significant runs, but he's last three starts, he's been solid, only 3 earned in that stretch. And, you know, averaging six strikeouts. I think it's just the kind of start that you kind of look up and you all of a sudden he finishes the game and he's got nearly 40 points. I don't necessarily know how to describe it beyond that. He's got talent. The numbers look solid. I wish the walk rate was lower, but I do like the possibility for Toronto to struggle here. And we saw them, you know, I mean, they gave up a lot of swings and misses to Chris Sale just last week. So I think that there's an interesting spot to potentially go to Garrett Richards as a little bit of a lower owned option. You know, I think in this other guys in this mid range that I think people may be attracted to, that, you know, are worth mentioning, but I'll throw a few caveats out here. J.A. Happ, I just don't like the matchup for him. And we've seen him every once in a while get blown up. I can't get him right. If you feel like you have a beat on J.A. Happ, go for it. You know, but I just don't necessarily know that I can get him right. Trevor Cahill is very, very interesting. He's another guy that, similar to Richards, I think you could definitely get a good outing. I don't like the matchup for Bauer or Velasquez, even though the numbers look solid. They could have solid outings, but they're not necessarily my favorites. And so, you know, you're kind of left with one or two more options here. And one of those guys is Caleb Smith. And I really think that Caleb Smith is somebody that we should pay attention to here, especially against the Mets. And in fact, he might be my favorite option for GPPs. Miami's, you know, youngest pitcher right now, 31% strikeout rate or 11% swinging strike rate. Now, walks are an issue. 12% walk rate. It's a huge problem. 3.7 Sierra. Hard contact is up. Fly balls are up. However, you're facing a Mets team that is literally second to last in WRC Plus versus left-handers. Right now, 26% strikeout rate for this team. And not getting a lot of love from Vegas, even though they're at home versus a young pitcher. So those are indicators to me that Caleb Smith could come out here and have a really, really solid outing. And I mean, we've seen him leave the game early in the last two, which is a little bit frustrating. And when you're walking multiple batters, you're not going to last. And so he just has to get through the walk issue. And if you can get through the walk issue, then maybe he'll generate a start like he did last time out against the Mets. 7 Ks, 5 innings with 3 earned. That's a solid outing for a young fella. And I think that you could get a nice spot here from him. And that was when the Mets were playing well, right? That was up earlier in April. So now we're a month later. They have not been good recently. So Caleb Smith is a guy that I feel like maybe is a, you know, GPP target for us. But I'm also interested in Domingo Germán. This guy just he's got some good stuff. Way too many walks, similar. And if you notice, there's one thing that these three pitchers that I'm talking about, Richards, Germán, and Smith, the walks. And if there's one thing that's going to get you yanked, it's leaving base runners on with walks and too many walks and not being able to generate, you know, ground balls. But Germán right now, 26% strikeout rate, a 13% swinging strike rate, which I really, really like. Now, 35% hard contact, meh, okay. Fly balls at 36%, meh, okay. Sierra's at 3.85, though. That's a solid indicator. And he's going to get a Texas team that, you know, listen, I tried to get aggressive with him last night with Tanaka. Obviously, I am aware that Tanaka did not perform. But this Texas team, currently in the last 30 days in this stretch, a 25% strikeout rate and 78 WRC+, they're still willing to swing. And Germán has shown us this year that he is capable of generating some serious lines. I mean, he goes out against Cleveland and he does a quality start, 6 innings, 9 Ks, no earned runs. His last start against Oakland did not go that way. One strikeout across 5 innings, 6 earned. But you're looking at a guy who's capable of generating a ton of whiffs if he can get things going. So Germán, I think, is a high risk, high reward type option here if you want to get aggressive. Not my favorite, obviously, because I don't think you can necessarily put all your eggs in that basket, and you're going to probably want to not have him in all your lineups, but I think it would be an interesting way to get jam in some bats and be slightly different on this slate. That's about it. That's where I'm at with this slate. There's a number of other names that you could get interested in, but those are the core ones that have piqued my interest on this slate. Obviously, Richards, Smith, and Germán all have the walk issue, which is a massive red flag, but they also have strikeout upside, which is what you really like to see. And some of these other guys, you know, we know that they don't have the walk issue. Happ, Cahill, Bauer, for example, but the matchup, not perfect, right? Not perfect. So you have some concern there. Let's talk sticks here. I'm going to go talk through these high-priced offenses because they're all going to attract some attention, and I kind of want to differentiate in what I like about them and don't like about them. And I'm talking Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros. And obviously, any night, those can be the highest-scoring offenses on a slate because they're just, you know, the most talented teams really in baseball right now as far as offense goes. Just at least the most fantasy value potentially. But the Yankees versus Hamels, very interesting. Hamels has been a mixed bag, really. He survived the hard contact issues. He's pitched well. He's kind of just been crafty. I mean, a mix of breaking stuff. His cutter is working really well, and he's just really not relying on one pitch all that much. I mean, the four seamer is not working for him. But he's not throwing it more than 40% of the time. And so you see that he's got a really healthy mix of, you know, the cutter, the curve, everything is throwing it in there, the change. And you see he's showing his age and his experience in the way that he's pitching right now. And he's just kind of navigating games and he's getting through innings and he's not really getting blown up. It's just really, I mean, that's the only explanation because some of the numbers just don't look that good. Frankly, and you know, you get a right-handed heavy team like the Yankees coming in here, and you worry quite a bit. But you know, fly ball rate at 35%, hard contact up at 43%, and so you go, oh wow, okay, facing the Yankees, that piques my interest. And the splits to right-handers are pretty consistent. He's given up a couple more home runs to that side of the plate here. Fly balls are a little bit higher to the right-handed side. I think what you're kind of banking on here is that someone's going to get a hold of that fastball. And the fastball hitters on this team, you know, I mean, come on now, they're obvious. If he throws that fastball four times, you know, 40% of the time, someone's going to get a hold of that thing. And it's been a problem. It's yielding a massive, massive wOBA here. And let me get those numbers specifically to righties for you. So the four seamer to right-handers right now is yielding a 675 wOBA. Now the sample size is not massive, but that will normalize, but the X wOBA is in line right there with 692. Only a 1.2% swinging strike rate on that pitch. So the change working, the curve working, the cutter working. Everything else is working for him. The breaking stuff, even the two seamer has been, you know, mediocre. But the four-seamer is just getting dusted. Now, he's using it a little bit more against lefties, but even there, you're seeing a 220 ISO and a 407 wOBA on that pitch. Smaller sample, but just the quality of the fastball is a concern. If he's going to use it, he's only been using about 35% of the time in games overall, but if he's going to use it, it's going to get hit by this team. And if we're specifically looking at who we want to get involved here, I think it's pretty obvious, you know. It's all the righties top to bottom. And, you know, Giancarlo, Gary, they can just smoke this fastball from him. They profile amazingly well against that pitch. Obviously, Aaron Judge as well. Gleyber Torres is hitting well right now. So there's no rest for the weary here. And if Hamels starts to, you know, get shaken, especially he just came off that neck injury, you know, it's 10, you know, it wasn't a huge deal, but I just, there's something here that I think we have to like the Yankees. Obviously we know they're capable of putting up a massive number and then they get to work on that bullpen, which, you know, they did last night anyway. So no problem going to, you know, Judge, Stanton and Gary. Gleyber Torres is very interesting as well. Tyler Austin, depending on where he is in the lineup, I think you could get behind him. He's not hard to like. Aaron Hicks hit a homer last night. Probably won't get another one out of him for a while, so I wouldn't chase that necessarily. But all of those guys are interesting to me. And I would put them slightly. I would put them kind of in a careful what you wish for category, only because if Hamels can get the breaking stuff working and he can generate strikeouts early, you're going to waste some at-bats here. And if you start wasting at-bats against Cole Hamels and he starts to get, you know, into the fourth, fifth inning and you're not generating runs, then you're in trouble. So a little bit of careful what you wish for, but I do like the chances of the Yankees to put a hurt on Hamels with that hard contact rate that he's given up to righties. Looking at the Red Sox, not a huge number, not a great park, but Faria has struggled here recently. His numbers right now, 18% strikeout rate, way too many fly balls, 44% fly ball rate, nearly a 40% hard contact. Sierra's all the way up at 5.1. He's just not getting it done. And I think that even though he has some name recognition, we know we like him. I like him personally. I just think it's time that we start to think about getting aggressive here, because the profile is just ripe for the picking. And all of a sudden you look at some of the numbers of what these Red Sox are capable versus right-handers, and it's just kind of terrifying, to be completely honest with you. Like, he could be in trouble. I'm looking at Martinez, Betts, and Moreland, all over 300 ISO versus the right-handed side of the plate. Woba's well above 440. And then you go down to Benintendi and Bogarts, and they're both smacking the ball, you know, well over 380 Woba and well over 200 ISO. So this top five is just a murderer's row, and they barely let him get out of the first time that they faced him. And so you look at this team and you see nothing but potential and a possibility that Faria just gets dusted. And they're not the highest total on the slate, but I would bet the over with this guy. I mean, this is setting up as a kind of a struggle for Jake Faria. And I like this kid, but I just can't necessarily say, you know, analyzing this, that this is not a good idea, especially considering that it's basically just his fastball. And, you know, when you have teams that can hit the fastball, which the Yankees are the best fastball hitting team in the league, by the way, the Red Sox are right there. And you're looking at a guy in Faria right now who's throwing this fastball 91, 60% of the time, 55% of the time to right-handers. Of course, this data courtesy of AddMoreFunds.com. Great website if you're interested to see some of this stuff. Sign up over there. Just one of the best organized uses of StatCast out there. Love it. ISO above 200 on that pitch. Four-seamer just isn't working. He's got a nasty change. He throws a slider well. Four-seamer just is not working. So no issue going to Bogarts, Betts, Moreland, JD. I mean, these guys are smacking fastballs right now. The numbers are just off the charts. So I think that they're an interesting way to get off the Yankees and a little bit less obvious, because Vegas doesn't have them as highly. Vegas is interested. At 4.4 runs, you're kind of like, okay, take it or leave it. You blend in, right? And all the models don't necessarily – well, no. Let's get after Faria here. I think that could be an interesting spot. Looking also at the Astros, Suarez, really good on the surface as a whole. And you break out the splits and you go, oh, shit. Versus right-handers right now, Suarez has got a 426 Woba, 634 slug. Now, small sample. It's going to normalize a little bit. It's a little bit exaggerated, but it's an indicator of a problem here. Now, he's not walking anybody in. He is striking people out. So it kind of keeps the Sierra and the XFIP down. But a 50% hard contact rate, 35% fly ball rate isn't exactly what you want to see when you're facing down, you know, some of the best, one of the best top, you know, right-handed lineups in the league. Now, the Astros, we know, aren't necessarily smacking the ball out of the park right now. But they're struggling, but they're still, you know, relatively potent offense here with a 104 WRC plus. Numbers are honest, a 299 BABIP right there, and they're not going to strike out that much, an 18% strikeout rate. So Suarez could be in for a long one here. Astros are at home. He's got to face way too many righties for me to feel comfortable that he's going to get this done. Now, he has not given up, you know, a ton of runs, But the last two, if they're in any indication of what he might be able to give up to lefties, then we got to pay attention, because Cincinnati and Pittsburgh both smacked him for 5 runs, 3 homers. So you're talking about a guy who, you know, maybe through 5 innings is going to give up a run per inning and a home run somewhere in there. Where do you go? What do you do with it? Well, it's pretty straightforward. You just got to get anybody who has right, who stands on the right side of the plate here. It's Springer, it's Bregman, it's Altuve, it's Correa, and Yuli. And so, you, and guys, you're not George Springer, 3.7K. Come on. Carlos Correa, 3.7. Oh, I know they haven't been necessarily lighting it up from a fantasy perspective, and their numbers aren't Red Sox-esque, but good gracious, these guys, we know they're capable of these numbers. You have to love George Springer, under 4K, 437 WOBA, 362 ISO versus lefties right now this year. He's a great hitter. Don't second guess it. Just trust that he is a great hitter, and those numbers are going to start to come back, and you want to be on the right side of this as they start to normalize. So Astros stack is more affordable than it will ever be. Get involved versus Suarez. He's got 2 rough outings in the last two versus Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, who are teams that are hitting lefties pretty well. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh specifically, you know, they're top 10 right now offense. You know, Cincinnati is not quite there. They're pretty average. But that's an indicator, right? That's an indicator that maybe some of Suarez's numbers are going to come back down to earth, and he may generate some whiffs. Fine. Great. But he's also going to give up that 50% hard contact to all those righties. And come on, George Springer, 3.7K. That's just kind of get involved territory. Speaking of the Pirates, they'll get Matt Harvey and the Cincinnati. I mean, speaking of Cincinnati and the Pirates, they will get Matt Harvey, one of the higher totals on the night. I like this game in general, but I do like the Pirates as well here. Harvey, you know, okay, fine. Comes to Cincinnati. He's thrown, you know, a couple decent outings here where he's just given up. he's all he's been asked to do in the last two is 4 innings. Okay, 4 innings is it. You know, faced 20 batters here. Hasn't given up a walk. In his last outing against San Francisco, he generated 5 Ks, but he also gave up 3 earned. Okay, seven hits, 7 base runners there. So certainly could be a situation where Harvey starts to reveal what, you know, he was basically in that bad stretch versus the Mets, or excuse me, while he was on the Mets. But the last two Cincinnati starts, he seemed to lower the bar a little bit. And we'll see how it goes. But I would like to be on the side of the Pirates, who, like I mentioned, a top 10 offense right now against right-handers and plenty of high-quality lefties that we can hammer against Harvey. Now, the weather is an issue. You don't love that, but they're implied for 5 runs, and so you certainly see how you could get yourself onto a relatively well-priced Pirates stack. You know, looking at Marte, Polanco, Corey Dickerson as the core guys, even Francisco Cervelli, he hits righties very well. So, I have no problem going to those guys. Colin Moran is interesting as well as a cheap third base option. If he's in the 6 hole, I don't mind him. This kid, Austin Meadows seems to be doing well. Shows up. Goes for 28 fantasy points in his third consecutive start. He's interesting for sure. He could be a guy too. So you can get a little bit aggressive in a great ballpark upgrade for the Pirates here. Relatively inexpensive prices. Corey Dickerson is the most expensive guy that you're going to have to pay for. I mentioned Marte, but he's on the line. That's why Meadows is up, because Marte is out. But anyhow, 3.5K being the ceiling of what you have to pay for. It was a very affordable team that you could stack very easily. And I think it would probably be, you know, Harrison Polanco, Cervelli, if you're on FanDuel, if you're on DK, sure, he's a catcher, he's interesting. He's expensive, but fine. Dickerson, and then maybe Moran and Meadows, if you really want to get deep dive, you know, for tournaments. But I like that spot. I think it's kind of fun. Milwaukee, another team that I'm interested in. Matt Koch, the batted ball numbers are a problem. 45% hard contact, 20% home run to fly ball ratio, with a 35% fly ball rate against a Milwaukee team that really is struggling with lefties, but they're not really struggling with righties very much. And you know, we see Koch's numbers. He's kind of a reverse splits guy. So you can, the nice thing is that you can get a little bit of everybody involved. But, you know, like I said, the batted ball profile is the issue. 40% hard contact to lefties, 50 to right-handers. And, you know, some of them are ground balls, but it's a pretty heavy mix of, you know, this ground ball rate is not above 50%. Fly ball rate is above 30%. So you got to like that what you see here facing Koch, and his year is way up, so not good. He has not been good. In his last outing against the Brewers, he got smoked. 8 runs, 9 hits. So let's just go right back. 4 dingers. Like, let's just go right back here. It's not hard. I would like, please, Mr. Yelich. Jesus Aguilar up in the top of the lineup. That's great. Love to see that. With the Eric Thames injury continuing, he's been up there. Travis Shaw smacking. Don't mind. You never have to worry about me and Domingo Santana. I like Domingo Santana here. I think he's interesting. And the 5-hole. So anybody 1 through 5, and I think the core would be 2, 3, 4, 5 for me. Yelich, Aguilar, Shaw, and Santana. So that's exactly what I want to attack there. And from a pitch by pitch perspective, we're looking at Koch. It's his cutter. He's thrown his cutter to the lefties. It's been a problem. His fastball has been a problem to both sides, really. His fastball is a problem. There's a lot of guys who just, the fastball is not working for them. I think guys are just seeing it and it's just going. And you look at that, you're going straight at Aguilar. Yeah, I mean, the young fella loves that fastball. Shaw as well. Yelich hitting the fastball very well also. So when you have a guy where your core four seamer is not getting it done, that's when you want to attack. I mean, because you can't be in the major leagues if you can't hit a four seamer, and when you can't throw a four seamer, everybody's going to be able to hit that pitch. And so I love that 2 through 5 right there in Milwaukee. St. Louis, though, I think will be one of the teams that attracts a lot of attention in this price range. You know, put up a nice number last night, a good outing from them. They were not a bust. Matt Carpenter finally hit one over, so now people are going to be like, oh, great, I can play Matt Carpenter every single night. Okay. Jason Hamill, you know, just we know what his problem is, and it's been the same problem for a long time, and it's the fly ball, and he just – he can't get the ball down. It's back up at 38% this year, 44% hard contact, a 5.3 Sierra. He's not striking anybody out at 11% K rate. So you take a you take a look at the splits here, and he's an equal opportunity offender. They're pretty even across the board, and all, you know, the lefties specifically are smacking at 50% hard contact rate. So, but 40% hard contact to right-handers is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, if you would, you're like, well, the 50% is obviously better, but 39% hard contact rate is a number that attracts my attention no matter what. So Pham, Carpenter, Martinez, Ozuna got going last night. I told you guys that. He was on base. He was getting runs. A nice outing for Marcelo Ozuna. That's kind of what you want to see, and you want to be on the right side of when Ozuna gets hot. Tyler O'Neill. 3 home runs. He's a guy that you can get involved in with, you know, for relatively cheap. He's been in the lineup for Dexter Fowler. Well, hopefully he'll stay. I mean, I don't know necessarily that you would take him out. So you have kind of this nice little core here. Jed Yurko is a guy that, I don't know. I mean, he I love him against lefties. I don't necessarily think you have to have him against Hamill right here, but the core top of this order are definitely where I want to be. We'll see what an order looks like. I just hope Fowler does not. I mean, if Fowler jumps back in there, that's not the end of the world, but not necessarily my favorite play. Pitch by pitch, looking at Hamill, the issues lie with the changeup primarily. and versus righties, they're with the changeup. He's not throwing it very much, but the fastball is also a problem to left-handers, two-seamer. So we're looking at somebody who can hit the fastball, who can hit the change. Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill pops right there. Dexter Fowler pops there. So we'll see either one of those guys. You feel comfortable with him. Tommy Pham is comfortable with the change as well. Matt Carpenter, decent numbers against the change. So feel good about these guys going up against Hamill. You know, implied for five runs. They got it done last night. I think they will be a little bit more chalky than some of the other options. Now, let's pivot. Let's see if we can find some lower ownership teams that maybe will not attract so much attention. On the surface, Baltimore-Chicago seems like a really, really great game. By name recognition, Gausman and Shields are two guys that we love to go after in DFS. And then you look at the way that Gausman has pitched recently, and he's been really good. He's been really good, and I just don't necessarily want to attack him with a team like Chicago. It just swings way too much. In fact, I think there could be an argument made for starting Gausman. And so you just kind of you shake your head there. I mean, he got blown up by Boston, but that's the best offense in the league. I mean, put up huge numbers against Oakland and Tampa Bay, huge number against Cleveland. So I don't actually think that that's interesting. I don't want to go to Chicago here against Gausman, who should be able to generate some whiffs and get a little confidence cooking here. There's an argument to be made, like I said, for pitching him. On the opposite side, James Shields, same thing. You go, oh, great, James Shields, Baltimore's hot. They're hitting well. They're actually, you know, getting the ball out. Well, guess who just put up 47 fantasy points against Texas? 30 against Minnesota, 30 against St. Louis. You know, 30. I don't know what James Shields' deal is, but the fly balls don't seem to be leaving the park. I don't. Maybe he's got the spin up. I have no idea. And you get all of these righties here in Baltimore. This is not an ideal split for them. They are definitely a team that is, you know, they're not terrible against right-handers, but they're definitely a team that you want to target lefties. So I don't think that that game is actually that interesting, and I wanted to just put that out there because I think a lot of people are probably looking at it at, say, face value, and they say, ooh, yeah, that's interesting. Not to me. I'm going to avoid that one. That's a fade for me. But let's talk a little bit about this this Angels team because I love the split versus a lefty. Even though J.A. Happ has some good numbers, okay? Now, J.A. Happ does have some very good numbers, and you can't take anything away from the guy. Now, I can't get him right, okay? I can't get him right at all. And in the last 30 days, the Angels are relatively average against left-handers. They're, you know, 18th right now at WRC+. But on the season, they're up above 100. And they were hitting lefties very, very well early in the year. They're not going to strike out. They're going to take a lot of walks. They put a lot of pressure on Happ. No doubt about it. And so you get an opportunity where maybe the perception is that, oh, I don't want to pay, you know, play these guys against Happ. But you get Mike Trout, Zach Cozart, and Kinsler, these guys who are capable of, you know, forcing walks, getting on base, and you look at Happ's splits to lefties, or excuse me, to right-handers, and he's got to face a ton of them. And the numbers to right-handers are good from a strikeout perspective. His xFIP and Sierra are fine, but in a lot of ways, he's pretty average to right-handers. 37% fly ball rate, 34% hard contact, and we've seen him every so often struggle. And I think that to me, you know, the Seattle game, for example. The Tampa Bay game, he gave up 3 earned. He gave up 7 earned in that other game. You get a team like the Angels in here who aren't just going to swing like crazy and, you know, they're going to put pressure back on him. I think it's an interesting way to be different. You always run the risk that Happ is cooking. And he's done good damage against teams like, you know, the Red Sox once this year. He just destroyed the Mets. But the Mets against the lefty, that's why guys were pitching. That's why we're interested in what's his name, the lefty versus the Mets. Who is it? Caleb Smith. They're terrible against lefties right now. So I think that there's something to be said for the Angels here versus left-handers, and they're inexpensive. And so you get access to Mike Trout via a stack that doesn't really cost you a ton. And that's where I think it gets really, really intriguing. You know, I compare Mike Trout with guys like, you know, a relatively cheap Zach Cozart, a relatively cheap Ian Kinsler, who, listen, the numbers for Kinsler right now are just bad. He's just not playing well this year. But he's so cheap, and he's in the five hole, and he's got really nice, you know, protection in him around him, and they're just inexpensive. And so you're able to stack them up and include Trout at a discount because you're adding the stack. And if they start to string it together against Hap, that's a good, that'd be a really interesting way to be different. So that's one way that I think you can differentiate on this slate. The other way is just the classic way of going to the late games. And you go to late games, you always know that the late games are going to have low ownership. And I don't know if people, if you're first time listening to this, but it's basically proven statistical fact that late games get lower ownership. And the primary reason is that people set their lineups on the East Coast with the information that they have prior to lock. And they don't have West Coast lineups prior to lock. And so they get a little bit antsy and they choose not to go to those games. And they're not going to be able to watch those games. And so late games always get a slightly lower ownership level. And the late game that I'm interested in is not Rockies Dodgers, but it's Oakland-Seattle. Oakland, of course, always interesting. And Mike Leake, not good right now. Mike Leake, really, really, really not very good right now. And Oakland at home after a day off. Leake is only striking out 15% of batters, 37% hard contact rate, fly ball up at 34%. You know, he's getting through games, but a 557 slug and a 387 wOBA to right-handers, not good. Not good. And so I have zero issue, you know, getting the top of this order in one nice stack and seeing how they do, in this situation. You know, Semien, Joyce, Lowry, Olson, Chapman. What's not to like? Those guys are, they're relatively inexpensive. We know they can string together runs. They had, two double digit totals over the weekend versus Toronto. And the numbers are really, really, really solid. I mean, unbelievably solid versus right-handers right now. And they are the third best offense versus right-handers. 111 WRC plus nudged, you know, nestled right between the Yankees and the Cubs. Come on now. Come on. Let's not pretend like this isn't a good idea, because this team is hitting well. The numbers are honest. The BABIP is right there at 300. We can tell that the numbers are real. 333 wOBA as a team, and you compare the individual player numbers to what, you know, you see across the league, and you've got ISOs above 230 for Chapman, Olson, and Lowry, wOBA's above 350 for all those three characters. So it's just, it's a good way to be different. I think they will come at a little bit of an ownership discount, and I have no problem going to Oakland. You guys know I always love Oakland, and I just love Oakland. Maybe I should get an A's hat. That'd be a good idea. Are you from Oakland? No, not even close. Never lived in California once in my life. Why the hat? Just kind of like them for fantasy purposes. got it. It's a good conversation ender. You don't want to talk about DFS baseball? No, I don't. That's basically my social life. Anybody want to talk about DFS baseball? No. Let's talk about normal social things, Sean. You guys don't want to talk about Mike Leake splits? Not really, Sean. Appreciate you, but there's like a bunch of toddlers around in the room right now. Come on, guys. Hey, Gerrit Cole's got a 40% strikeout rate. Does no one want to talk about this? That's why I talk into a microphone alone for you guys. All right, let's go over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup. All right, so here's an option for us as we're looking at this. Gerrit Cole starting up there, and then a nice mix of Angels and Cardinals. Jose Martinez, Ian Kinsler, Zach Cozart, Jed Yurko, Justin Upton, Tyler O'Neill, Matt Carpenter in the utility spot. And then I added Domingo Santana. He's probably going to be in the five-hole, good spot for him as well. 2,300 is a really, really reasonable price for that guy, so very interested in that. I think that this is an interesting way to go. I got a mix of, you know, low ownership Angels that potentially, you know, hit or miss. I don't know if I'll stick with them, but they fill a lot of interesting needs at very, very reasonable prices. Kinsler and Cozart are 1-5 right in this lineup. And then you get Upton back in there, and hopefully he'll be back in the hand injury. I mentioned the injury, he was in and out of the lineup. I think he'll be in there, though. We'll see. But he's $3,600. That's a pretty good price for Justin Upton. We like that price. So I like it. You know, I don't love the Jed Yurko play, but at $2,600, you really can't beat that. Nice stack correlation there with Cole at the top. So we'll see if this sticks. Who knows? Probably get a little Milwaukee, a little bit more Milwaukee in my life. It's just that they're a little bit more pricey. So you'd probably have to go down to a second tier pitcher to get a Milwaukee stack involved because they're mostly 3K. So I'm trying to, you know, target some of these higher upside teams with some of these lower price players. And I'm looking at, you know, guys like below 3K or Kinsler, Cozart, Yurko, Tyler O'Neill, Domingo Santana. Every single one of those guys below that price can leave the yard. One of them, two of them leave the yard. Boom, golden. So that's where I'm at. Guys, good luck in your contest, and I will see you.